Now, I bet there can't be many of us who haven't moaned about a bank at some point in our lives, but not many of us do something about it in quite the way that our next guest did, Anne Bowden. She just started her own bank, and why not? She's written a book about it called Banking On It. I'm delighted to welcome Anne to the show. Morning, Anne.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me this morning.
No, an absolute pleasure. Nice to talk to you. So, I don't know if you've been watching the nonsense going on in America overnight. I think we're probably both glad we're not there at the moment.
Yes, exactly. What a story, eh?
Unbelievable. So let's talk about your early days. I think you were quite lucky in that your parents, it kind of exposed you to the art of saving from a very young age. That was a good move of theirs, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. I had come from a very ordinary home. My father worked in the steel industry, and my mother worked in a department store. But we looked after money, and we were quite frugal. And I really enjoyed nonfiction. You know, I spent a lot of, I spent all my savings in the local bookstore, learning about the big wide world. And yes, sort of 30 odd years later, whatever. When I'm in my mid-50s, I decide after a long career in traditional banking, I'm a computer scientist by background, to quit my job to start a bank.
Quite incredible.
Yes.
It's interesting to note that we have something in common in that you ran your school's bank at the age of 11. Now that's interesting because I actually ran my school's radio station at the age of 11. It worked, didn't it?
I know.
Fantastic. Now, you say there that you were more interested in science, which is quite interesting. So you studied chemistry and computer science. One would have thought that with the kind of brain that you were forming, you would have gone more to the kind of, you know, finance and accounting side.
Yes, well, I started looking for jobs in the scientific industry, you know, doing research and development. But my mum said, apply for one safe job, apply for a job in a bank. So I did. And in the early 80s, I rocked up in London to work in Lloyds Bank. And that was the start of a career where I worked for all the big banks around the world, you know, whether it's Lloyds Bank or Standard Chartered Bank.
Yeah.
UBS in Zurich, ABN AMRO in Europe, RBS, Allied Irish Banks. And then I decided banking was broken. I could do better. Let's start a bank.
Wow, that's just such a brilliant thing to say. So tell us what was broken, in your view, about the banking system at that point.
Well, after the financial crisis of 2008-2009, the banks started to turn inwards. They started worrying about repairing their own balance sheets.
Yeah.
But the world was changing. Technology was changing. People were shopping differently, buying their music differently. The world was rapidly changing, and the banks weren't keeping up. And I started dreaming about what it would be like to have a new bank. And I thought somebody should start a new bank. And then one day in December 2013, I thought, well, perhaps it should be me. And I really shocked myself when I first said the words, I'm going to start a bank, because people don't start banks.
No.
But, you know, where we are now, it's been quite a journey, quite a successful journey. And I'm so excited about and really, I surprised myself when I decided to break away from corporate life and be an entrepreneur in my mid-50s.
And I can't imagine you didn't face quite a few hurdles, prejudices, difficulties, legal red tape. It must have been a nightmare at the beginning.
It was a nightmare. It took 2 years to raise money. I built a team and lost a team. I managed to eventually raise money. And when I raised money, it was enough to start the bank in a big way. And that allowed us to build a great infrastructure and a great set of values. And people that work at Starling believe that we can do better for consumers and small businesses.
Yeah.
And we've got 1,000 people that really, really focus on doing things better. And we've got the best technology in the world. And I think we've got a set of values, which means that people trust us.
Yes. Two questions on that one. How much money does it cost to start a bank, in case anyone's thinking of joining you? I don't think I've got quite enough, but you know, it's worth an ask. And secondly, on there, technology must have been a vital part of this, because, of course, banking didn't really progress technologically at all, did it?
No, it didn't. The initial funding, my seed funding, was £48 million.
Wow.
Which was enough to get me the banking license. And since then, we've raised hundreds and hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of the size of Starling now, we have nearly 2 million customers. We have £4 billion on deposit. And we've done £1.5 billion of lending.
Goodness.
So Starling's that big. And we have a whole range of accounts, including euro accounts. But what we really, really focus on is doing the right thing and doing it in a very structured way. But technology is the heart of it.
Yes.
Technology is so, so important. And we decided that we weren't going to buy banking packages or buy software. We're going to build it with real engineers. And we hired the best engineers in the world. And we built the best platform so it can do all sorts of things that other banks can't do. And we're only starting. We're starting this journey. And over the next couple of years, we're going to really revolutionise people's experience of banking.
How wonderful to hear. That's really interesting how you basically reinvented the wheel, which hadn't yet been invented, in effect, had it?
Yeah.
Amazing. Now, traditional banks were always, in the good old days, let's call them the good old days, people love going out to their local bank, you know, and having a chat with the bank clerk in there and all the rest of it. But that changed way before you came on the scene, didn't it? And banks were getting criticised for being faceless, basically.
Yeah, well, Starling's not faceless. You know, you can speak to somebody on the telephone or on chat 24/7, 365 days of the year. So we're not faceless.
Mm.
But the question is, you can do your banking anywhere.
Yeah.
In the UK, you can pay cash in at a local post office and get a receipt there and then.
Right.
But we're not about being faceless banking. We're not about a bank that hasn't got a personality. We've got lots of personality, and we are there for our customers. And that's what our customers tell us, that we are, you know, we have empathy.
Yes.
And that's what I really want the company to maintain as we grow, because, you know, that's the sort of bank that we set out to form.
One very important thing, I'm sure it's the most obvious thing in the world, but it was getting a banking license. So that must have been a tricky thing to do. I can't imagine they hand them out willy-nilly.
No, it took us nearly 3.5 years. A banking license is means that people's deposits are protected up to £85,000.
Yes.
And that we actually can use those deposits in order to invest them in various things. But being a bank has a very, very high hurdle. So you have to have the best technology. You have to have the best processes. You have to have people who are qualified. And it took a while. You know, it did take, many years. But that's right. You know, we don't want, we want people who run banks to be responsible and to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And therefore, getting that banking license took us years. And the hurdles that the regulators set are high. But that's right.
One of the things that's much in discussion now, particularly for us here in Spain, and I personally have suffered from this very thing, is that some UK banks do not have an agreement in Europe after Brexit and are basically telling people with accounts held in the UK that they're cancelling those accounts and off you go and find another bank. What's that? How's that affected you, that particular question?
Starling has only ever been available for people that are resident, have a residential address in the UK.
Right.
We are going to be launching a bank across Europe, but that's not currently available. So the situation isn't changing for our customers at the moment.
Right. And what is it with these other banks? What's the difficulty for them? Why is it just too expensive or too much hassle? Why are some doing it and some are not?
The situation is that currently you can have a banking license in the UK and passport that banking license into other countries.
Yes.
So you can basically use your UK license to cover you in other countries. When at the end of this year, as a result of Brexit, that passporting capability disappears, and therefore those banks would either have to have a banking license in Europe or stop doing businesses with those customers.
Right.
And for some banks, probably they don't have enough of those customers, to warrant having a European licence.
How interesting. And in your view, is that a done deal now, or could there be a last-minute reprieve from this situation?
We don't know. We're all sort of watching it. You know, who'd have thought that we'd be in this situation at the moment? You know, it's not a done deal yet. For us, we do offer sterling euro accounts, but we do only offer them if you have a UK address.
Understood. Now, obviously, we've all been going through a rather odd time this year in 2020, and I guess, in a way, you were well placed to deal with the lockdown and the coronavirus situation, being a digital bank.
Yes, we were built for this. It was really horrible when the lockdown came and we started hearing about, you know, people really suffering as a result of this crisis. But Starling, we were built for the cloud. We operate in a very, very secure cloud technology environment, which meant that we could actually work from anywhere. And our people are highly trained and are used to working in a decentralized way. So very, very quickly, we managed to move to various places and continue operating, which meant that we were open for business when many of the other banks were not.
Yes.
And we work very, very efficiently. So very quickly, we heard news that people were having difficulty, people that were self-isolating were having difficulty paying for their shopping and things.
Yep.
And we launched a connected card for people that were self-isolating. And this card was recommended by NHS volunteers, and therefore we were part of doing useful things in this crisis. Yeah, people kept saying that they couldn't post their checks into us, so we launched a check imaging product. So we constantly, in this environment, were responding. And then we had the situation where small businesses were really suffering, and we became part of the government-backed Bounce Back Loan Scheme.
Yes.
In order to lend to small businesses. So we've been working really hard during this period, trying to get the right products to our customers.
Good for you. Now, as we go through our daily lives as a general public, fraud is becoming more and more commonplace. I mean, you know, people's passwords are being compromised. They're scared even to go online sometimes because of the kind of dodgy scams that are going on. I certainly wouldn't like to be running a bank and have to deal with that. How big a deal is it for you these days?
It's a really difficult situation when you hear stories that people have been defrauded. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
We have the best technology, the machine learning technology and artificial intelligence to detect situations where a customer could be being scammed.
Right.
But nothing is as important as people being very, very alert. Individuals must really look out for that unexpected phone call. You know, please be very, very careful. You've heard all these scams. They are terrifying. Please, please do not rely upon somebody calling you up and telling you to do something.
Yeah.
Put the phone down. Think about things. Perhaps call a friend that you can discuss it with and phone back your bank on a different number.
Yes.
Using the systems you normally use. Just be very careful.
Absolutely.
But the one thing that we have to think about here is that when all these scams are going on, you need to also look at traditional ways of protecting yourself. Your mobile phone is a very, very safe form of banking. Mm. It's much safer than using a web interface. Some of you may be worried about using a banking app. That banking app is safe. And if it has a second means of authentication, sending you a code somewhere, that's even safer as well.
Very good advice. Very good advice indeed. 2018, 2019, 2020, Starling were the winner of the Best British Bank at the British Bank Awards. Congratulations, firstly, for that. But looking ahead to the future, what's the plans?
Yes, well, you know, we have grown very fast and we are very relevant to today's age where people can do their banking anywhere. We're launching more products. We recently launched a child card. We're launching more currencies at the moment so people can bank in lots of different currencies. And then we introduce lots of tools for people that run small businesses. So instead of, you know, having to do use other banking other packages and software for things like reporting to HMRC or things like that, we have all those services for our customers. Fantastic. But the important thing is the world is going to change.
Yep.
The world is going to go digital. And we must be very, very vigilant that we listen to what our customers really want and evolve in the way they want us to evolve. Never again do we need want to go back to the days of 2008, 2009, where the banks became arrogant. We depend on our customers, and we have to keep listening.
Many of the people observing the pandemic situation have noticed that we're becoming more and more cashless as a society. And some would say, who are conspiracists, maybe you would call them conspiracists, that that actually is the plan all along. Do you think we are heading towards a cashless society?
I think cash is very expensive for everybody to process. And in this day and age, nobody wants to actually handle cash. We are going toward a cashless society, and I see the benefits of that.
Yeah.
It means that you can actually manage your money better. You can actually, you know, using your phone or your card in a cashless way. It's safer in lots of different ways. And yes, we do need cash for some people in certain part of society, but I'm really hoping that we will go into more cashless because it is more efficient and it's easier to manage your money with all these various new tools.
Refreshing to hear your views, particularly as we sit here in Spain. I imagine there are many of the listeners who are listening now who've had experiences of Spanish banks. I don't know if you've ever had any experience of Spanish banks, but it couldn't be more different from the world you're describing. You can only pay money in when the moon's at a certain phase, and that's only if you're wearing the right coloured socks. Then you've got to wait for 4 hours behind a woman discussing her vegetables that she bought this week. And meanwhile, the cashier's gone off for his lunch for 4 hours in the afternoon. So, yes. Open a bank here, for goodness sake, will you?
We'll come there in a couple of years' time. Not next year, but perhaps the year off.
Fantastic, Anne. That's brilliant. The book all about this is called Banking On It. Anne Bowden, it's been absolutely a pleasure to talk to you today. Really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Have a great day.